Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
We begin with an exploration of radicalism in Nairobi, still the scene of violence and a battle between the terrorist group Al-Shabaab and the Kenyan military. The violent, chaotic situation at the Westgate Shopping Center is beginning to yield some details about who Al-Shabaab's apparently suicidal militants actually are, what their new leadership might want, and whether the international community was lulled into a sense of false security about this Somali-based militant group because of some perceived military setbacks on the ground in Somalia and elsewhere in East Africa. Joining us is Jendaya Fraser, former U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs. She's currently a distinguished public service professor at Carnegie Mellon University. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
It's great to talk to you again. There's been a leadership shift in Al-Shabaab. That's been well documented. And that was going on sort of while you were still in government, yes?
Yeah, the first leadership of Shabaab, particularly, you know, the very militant extremist segments, was really East Africa Al-Qaeda cell. And you had people like Fazul Muhammad, Aidan Aro, and others who were part of the East Africa Al-Qaeda cell who essentially, hijacked Shabaab and turned it more into a global jihadist organization. It's certainly a group that has always been on the run and has accordingly changed its tactics according to the circumstances on the ground. You know, they had originally talked about trying to govern and create a Sharia state in Somalia, and they can't accomplish that goal. It's very clear, particularly with the African Union forces in there.
To defeating them on the battlefield and setbacks politically in Somalia, they have no quarter there.
They do not. And also their own ideology and their own viciousness. During the 2011 famine, they were actually denying food assistance to the population, and so they don't have popular support. And they are on the run militarily, but they will evolve their tactics. And so I don't think we've seen the last of Al-Shabaab. And it's not difficult, frankly, in many ways to attack, right? It's some people have said, you know, sound governments, democratic governments have to be 100%, whereas these terrorists only have to make one successful strike and make it spectacular to give the sense that they are really on the ascendance. I'm not so sure that that's the case with Shabaab.
Although that analysis tends to get the international community off the hook. I mean, didn't somebody drop the ball here on not being vigilant about the possibility of an attack like this?
Well, no, I do think that the United States, and I have to give President Obama and his administration credit for this, have been certainly doubling down on George Bush's strategy in Somalia, working very closely with the regional leaders, the Ugandans in particular, Kenya since 2011, carrying out this fight and supporting them with intelligence, supporting them with equipment. I do think that that's to their credit. I think where they made mistakes is the business of Kenya in its post-election and the ICC, where they haven't embraced Kenya the way they should. You know, Kenya hosts a number of Somalis in its capital city, and you have refugee populations that are coming across. And so the insecurity coming out of Somalia has been a challenge for the entire region and most certainly for Kenya.
Well, as far as hosting Somali refugees or immigrants is concerned, the U.S. possibly has something to answer for. Last night, Kenyan Foreign Minister Amina Mohamed spoke to the PBS NewsHour about possible British and American involvement in the attack. Listen.
From the information that we have, two or three Americans, and I think so far I've heard of one Brit.
And the Brit was a British-born woman?
Woman. And she's, I think, done this many times before.
And the Americans?
The Americans, from the information we have, are young men. Mm-hmm. Between maybe 18 and 19.
Of Somali origin?
Of Somali origin or Arab origin. Mm-hmm. But that, you know, lived in the U.S., in Minnesota and one other place. So basically, look, I mean, that just goes to underline, I think, the global nature of this war that we're fighting.
It's Kenyan Foreign Minister Amina Mohamed in an interview with the PBS NewsHour. Now, that could all be wrong. All that information is unconfirmed, but it's certainly alarming. Is there a Tsarnaev scenario here of a radicalization that took place in the United States? Does the U.S. even watch Somali immigrants as targets of other countries, only concerned with if they're targeting the United States?
Well, no, I think that the FBI in particular has been following leads about recruitment of young men, particularly, Somali origin, but basically American citizens, some of them surely born in the United States, who are being recruited to participate in global jihad, including in Somalia. And so I think that the U.S. government has been watching this, and our intelligence services and our FBI are on top of it. But let me just
– the nuance here. You say we've been watching it. Does that mean that from your perspective in the U.S. government that we have considered this a problem, recruitment by al-Shabaab of Americans? We have considered that a problem already?
For many years. For many, many years, we've considered it a problem. There was an attack in Mogadishu on an outpost that was basically an intel cell. And those were an American suicide bomber of Somali origin there. So we have been watching the recruitment. The U.S. government, I'm not in the government today, but the U.S. government, even when I was Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs, the FBI was following leads in the United States of recruiting here.
Final thoughts. I mentioned Tsarnaev's radicalization in the Boston Marathon bombing. Is there something of possibly a potential failure of culture in the United States that people can be isolated, alienated, and radicalized by just being sort of rogue outliers in communities of immigrants in the United States?
Well, I think we may overanalyze that. Certainly there's issues about assimilation of communities, but even assimilated communities can go on jihad if they're radicalized or they take on an ideology. And young people are often disaffected of any origin, of any nationality, of any race. A lot of them just feel alienated just because of the point in their life. I think young people are subject to, I guess you could say, programming in some ways, or giving ideological training.
And again, the details unclear, unconfirmed. We're going to learn a lot more about the nature of these attackers. Jendiah Frazier, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Jendiah Frazier is former U.S. Secretary of State for African Affairs, currently a distinguished public service professor at Carnegie Mellon University.